The canine peppers in the basket are prime examples of their kind. A normal pepper of this type causes some canine features to manifest, but they fade, or they are reversible if one simply abstains from further ingestion. These are much stronger than usual, but they are still safe in moderation. Nonetheless, eating a few in one sitting can have some knock-on effects. Your hand moves into the basket, selecting a small one, conveying it to your mouth. Crunch, sweetness, spice, and a warmth that runs down the back of your head into your nerves and makes you feel good. Ever so slightly more relaxed and vague as your eyes go half-lidded. Your tongue sticks out a little bit. You recline. Your body is more vital, more sustained, more ready to bask in just being who and what you are. These items are known to mend minor wounds, restore vitality, induce excitement, but also a kind of peace and tranquility of the self. Though, with the transformative energies running through you as you reach for the second pepper, bring it up, crunch into it, let it slide down your throat amid still more warmth. Well, precisely who and what you are is slightly up in the air. In a situation like this, the best thing to do is bask, relax, fall back upon your instinct. But what those instincts are is also in flux just now. For example, any instinct which might discourage you from taking another bite of another pepper has clearly been suppressed. Automatic, but influencing your mind to think in simpler and more instinctive ways, orderly ways, with each bite. And that's fine. Being a little closer to the primal self, which after all is quite cooperative and inclined to please, and overall very pleasant for you to immerse yourself within. The true primal self is that is inclined to be a social animal. That's what we are, and that's what the canines that these peppers bring people a little closer to have in common with us. Your eyes half-lid in reverie, your body reclined, your mind finding interesting new possibilities in terms of thought and behavior. You see, your normal way of thinking, way of being, skips over some interesting possibilities. Letting your tongue hang out, for example. The soothing rhythmic feeling of deep panting breaths. Wagging your tail in pleasure. Stretching your paws and laying out with your belly showing. The wonderful feeling you can imagine already, of someone running their hands over your belly, perhaps lower, stimulating you, helping you enjoy yourself. That's enough peppers, though. With some effort, you manage to set aside the basket nearby. Maybe you'll pick it up later, or some other time. They seem to stay fresh for a very long time from what you've seen. Yes. You have all the space and temporal security that you will need. Besides, despite the quite pleasant influence of what was, after all, a fairly small volume of tasty food, you know your mind is still working fine. You would notice if you had to go do something. You'd notice if someone interrupted your time here. You'd notice if a responsibility arose. But now you can just exist. Flowing in the slight transformations washing over your mind, you'll uphold your responsibilities, and when they're out of the way, you can play, engendering certain changes in you, changes automatically suited to the form you're taking a transformative trip toward. These kind of thoughts arrive, arising from deep places in your brain, responding to what you've eaten. To what you know, to all the images of what a canine transformation would do to your mind and instincts and urges. You've got those thoughts already waiting inside of you. since you had them even before you began to listen. Knowing the topic of our little talk here is sure to have given rise to certain thoughts before it began. It's like you're hearing and feeling the images to follow at the same time, descriptions which nonetheless motivate you to act internally. The transformative substances, their magic influence on you, and the fact that you willingly embarked on this journey of change all combine to make your mind a little more open to instinctive things you were already aware of that were long suppressed, to conjure thoughts of what behaviors might suit a canine-morphed individual. And thoughts channel into feelings, and those feelings into actions, both internal and external. You've been prepared with all of this, and I am handing you the tools to make connections, helping you to use your brain for the effort of making those connections part of you. By providing you with the narrative and words and ideas myself, I'm providing a ride where you don't have to set the destination. And that frees up more of your brain's processing power for the tasks of deep transformative placement, which are the core of our activity here. After all, you want to do a good job, don't you? Yes. Just thinking that word affects you. Good. An emphatic reminder. Good. The perfection of self. The reflection of you in another's mind and opinion and eyes, which causes them to say that you are good and have done well. That's at least one transformative adaptation that is arising in you as you get closer to what those peppers cause to change. There's a real satisfaction in accomplishing a task, making someone else recognize your good work. It isn't just a word. It's something more. Just as all words are. You hear good, good pet, good job, good work. All those words are little affirmations that vibrate the small bones of your ear, turn the words into electricity. The electricity sorts through the input-output switches of your brain, and because your mind is becoming closer to a doggy existence, closer to the kind of instinctive animal thoughts a canine-morphed human would have, the switch for pleasure turns on when you think of yourself as good. It makes you almost want to wag your tail. And indeed, you may feel your hips swaying eagerly, or a smile finding its way onto your face, merely thinking of someone acknowledging you as having done good. And you are good. You're achieving something even right now, listening and incorporating these instincts and these ideas into your fun. They may fade when you return to the outside world, because maybe you can't always act in these instinctive doggy ways all the time. But in the now and here, you can at least feel these words and ideas washing over you. Speaking of wagging your tail, that's another little alteration impulse. It flows naturally from the idea of being good, of having done something right, of being excited and eager to move onward and find the next thing within that you can enjoy and play with. There are parts of your body which feel good to relax, parts of you it feels quite pleasing to stretch. Well, envision what having a tail would be like as somewhat similar to that, something it feels good to move. Moving your back slightly side to side, whether while laying down or while standing, feeling the movement of that little length of extra muscle, perhaps fur upon it, darting left to right, signaling your excitement, your eagerness, signaling that you feel pleasure. All of these things seem natural and normal for the shape that you're exploring, thinking about, contemplating, learning about. And you would enjoy the movement of your tail, the little escape, the small liberation, the purity and honesty of not being able to fully control the movement, but knowing your body will move with it, that your tail will be honest no matter what anyway. So why restrain it? Feel it now. Move eagerly. Remember being good. And feel your tail move side to side, your body open and attentive to the feelings it spawns in you. And indeed, enjoyment flows from and with all of this. A little arousal, maybe, but mostly relaxation. The other side of the coin. Speaking of other sides, laying on your back may seem only natural to you. Sometimes you might do it like when you nap. But for the doggy mentality which is being slowly revealed in you, here in this deep space, there's a different meaning to it. Revealing your belly. Making yourself vulnerable. You know all about that. Envision that when you're like this, when you're in a deep doggy place exploring these instinctive, animalistic kinds of thoughts, revealing your belly to someone has a very special meaning. Because the more you notice them looking at your belly, the more you show your submitting belly to someone, the more you will feel like you should just do what they want. Submission both signified and caused by that exposure. So as someone you trust and show your belly to looks at it, whether you're lying on your back or just lifting up your shirt, you start to look up at them, to want to get on your knees or lay on your back, to be a little lower. And all requests given by someone you're submitting to in that way arrive in your brain with that extra bit of emphasis. So it feels just right that you should do what you're told when you're like that, willingly revealing yourself to someone. A natural flow. Doing something for a person who you've submitted to, shown your belly to, that would make you very good, wouldn't it? The very idea makes you grow excited. Your tail wags, your mind gives you the same pleasure that you feel when you know you've done something good. And you feel, perhaps, your mouth opening a little. Yes, a natural thing. Your tongue sticking out as far as it can while you're still comfortable. Maybe just a little bit. And you breathe rapidly a few times. And then a deep breath, panting and drawing air over your tongue. You like the invigorating way this cools you, makes your body feel just right. It's a good way to be, as long as you remember to take deep, soothing breaths in between panting sessions. Make sure you're properly calm and oxygenated, but the process relaxes you anyway. Letting your tongue hang out is the important part. Because all of these little changes lead to fun alterations in perspective. And although they may only last a short time before they sink back into your deeper consciousness, where fun things are stored until your chores are done and you have the free time from a busy life to think these thoughts and feel these things like you do here and now, well, you may wonder, where's the doggy part of your thoughts coming from then? Where do the ideas which are flashing through your mind in panting, tail-wagging, good doggy delight come from? Well, like everything else in your mind and in your life and your experience, these doggy parts of you come from thoughts and combinations of thoughts put into your mind at different times and different places, which you're accessing here. Though, for example, you probably already had some conceptions about what a canine morph would act like, about little things like panting and showing one's belly, and overall liking to be told you've done something well. Your mind has long-term storage, and that's where most thoughts, most ideas go, but you access them all the time. Some access is subtle and automatic. Like remembering the route you're going to drive in a car. Before you know it, you've guided yourself to your destination. It's the same on foot. Or remembering a familiar procedure through muscle memory. If you're experienced, you do it the same way. Your mind has long-term storage. Some access is more direct. Like when you're asked a question, and you see if you can recall from your memory banks the information that will allow you to answer. And some access arises cohesively from within, as part of an overall directive you set for your mind. Like when you fantasize, and you pull all the elements out of storage that you will need to fully explore that fantasy. Or like when I give you thought-provoking ideas, and your subconscious and conscious minds work together to synthesize an experience we can draw on in taking you to new places, drawn onward meditatively, cooperatively, usefully for our mutual satisfaction. You draw elements from storage that fit the required setup, and then we assemble them into the experience, so the inclination to feel pleasure and relaxation and peace inside yourself when you're called good, or think of yourself as good. That is built from thoughts and preconceptions that you had about doggy instincts and animalistic inclinations, formed by my preamble, this file's descriptions, and your brain's cooperative effort now that you've been freed of the responsibility of coming up with trains of thought. You have more processing power than normal, so your brain can supply more of our cooperative effort. When you think of panting, the pleasure and visual treat for anyone you might play with comes to mind. But you think also of the deep breathing, of trance. And so you let your tongue hang out, sure, but your prepared subconscious mind knows to also take some deep breaths mixed in there to keep you relaxing despite the panting display. As to your tail, even without direct transformative description of a tail, your body knows to move your hips a bit, to envision the soothing signaling effect of your tail moving rapidly back and forth, the honesty of it, like stretching pent-up muscles, feeling in line with your instincts, your nature, your very being. Speaking of signaling, the idea of a doggy instinct to show one's belly as a sign of submission is a simple one. It was probably in your mind when you thought about doggy morphs before you began listening. People know that particular animal signaling behavior. But in you, with your more sophisticated mind and more sophisticated understanding of dominance and submission, the act of submitting means something more. That's why in you, when you show your belly to someone, it means a desire on your part to submit to them, to kneel, to look upward, to view their commands in the best good dog light. And that's just what you wanted before you began, isn't it? All of this, of course, is governed by that cooperative discussion that has preceded this, about what you might enjoy doing. Accordingly, you'll only feel these instincts flowing out of your mind and influencing your body at times when it's appropriate, just like you only relax and listen to this kind of file when you have the safe space for its effects to flow. And indeed, these concepts, these instincts, may flow back into those long-term storage buffers. But now you have a pattern to draw upon, a story of the self, an idea about eating those peppers and letting them be a catalyst for transformation. You may see that catalyst in other files, other works, other places, other sessions. You may visualize it on your own even, and if you liked this experience, you might trust it in particular, or even return to this particular session of eating a few too many and feeling doggy instincts flow over you. And that kind of thinking and experimentation would be useful for enjoying future transformative thoughts, fantasies, and experiences. So store not just the particular thoughts which led to your good dog tail-wagging, panting, belly-linked submission. Store also the pattern that draws upon those thoughts to make you feel how you feel now. Yes, you had thoughts about how a canine morph would act, about little animalistic doggy qualities that might exist in you when you were done, and you had those thoughts before I began speaking. All I did was call them out in a useful combination that you have perhaps enjoyed. And like all processes one enjoys, the mind might store the pattern and evoke it at appropriate times. Granted, appropriate times to pant, breathing deeply, to wag your tail, and think of ways you've done well lately and been good. Well, that might only come about in the kind of times you'd normally rest in trance anyway. You still feel these urges powerfully, and you welcome them in, wagging, panting, submitting, wanting to be good. Good. Then again, you'll only explore these urges at times and in places where you have room to really relax. Of course, you may want to do this kind of thing with another person, a partner, a lover, a handler, someone to use submit and good doggy parts of your instincts with. And that's okay. Sure, this kind of behavior will only arise in safe places, where you can simply be as you are now, very slightly changed and more instinctive. But those places may include companions, someone you trust with whom to lay there, show your belly, pant, wag, be good. These are simple enough thoughts, and the simpler a thought is, the more easily it makes its way through the machinery of your mind to help you influence yourself. And all influence is here, in this place, in this environment of cooperation, are good, just like you.